GTR listeners, the official Gamertag Radio store is now open on TeePublic. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. Represent us. You could buy t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, posters, stickers, and much, much more. We are planning to add more designs coming very soon to the store, but as of right now, we have a couple of designs available now, like I Love Gaming and the GTR Gamertag Radio logo and so on. It's pretty cool. So go right now to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 761. This is your host, Danny. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there worldwide. And also joining us this week, we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew. Let's start off with Paris in the house. Paris, what's up, man?
You're muted. Good job.
Yeah. Great way good to morning. Start the morning.
Yeah. So good I'll morning, say it again. Sir. Yeah, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Good, man. Good.
You see me that gets muted?
I thought P was the expert on that, like keeping everything a little muted. But everything is good, man. Paris, you ready for the trip later this week?
Yes, I will see you when you're here.
Cool, man. Cool. And also joining us, also Pete. What's up, Pete?
Not muted. Yeah. And how you doing?
Thank God.
Yeah. For once, it was not me, but yeah. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, all the wives and moms that put up with the kids' shenanigans and all that.
Yeah, definitely.
Shout out to y'all. And shout out to all the Mr. Moms as well.
Of course. So, Pete, are you excited or even curious to know what's the announcements from Activision and Treyarch later this week?
Call of Duty? I think we beat that, you know, to a pulp.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited. I'm just curious.
I mean, it's still Call of Duty. It's still until it's beaten, which I mean, it may have, because I think Fortnite is now the undisputed multiplayer king right now in the world. But I'm curious to see if anything, not more so the gameplay, the like why they're no longer going to do a single player and what was the driving force behind the decision. Like, I want to know what are they focusing on so much to make gameplay that much better that they don't require a single player component to the title. Mm-hmm. A component that's been there since day one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll find out later this week, and I'll be there with Paris, and we're definitely going to have some roundtable discussions, hands-on impressions, interviews, and all that good stuff. So make sure to tune into Gamertag Radio. Speaking about the podcast, head over to GamertagRadio.com or Audio Boom, and you can also subscribe to a different podcast platform. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to share it, subscribe, and also, if you have the time, also post a review. It will help us climb in the charts and everything, man. So
send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
The store is available right now. It's open. You could go right now and buy shirts, hoodies, stickers, even posters. So we also received a couple posters here a couple days ago of the documentary of Gamertag Radio. It came out really good. Love the design and everything. But if you want, go right now to the store. Super easy. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. By the way, shout out to, oh my God, what was his name, man, Pete? The other day, we were on Discord and one of our listeners was like, "Oh man, guys, I love the design. I just bought a couple things from your store." And I'm like, "Oh, that's dope. Like, which design you bought?" And I forgot the design that he bought, but I know it was like a Mother's Day theme. I know it was like shirts or I don't know. I can't remember exactly what he bought. But when he posted the images on our Discord channel, I'm like, yeah, that's not ours, but thanks for thanks for buying it from
Yeah, shout out to Sidero Light, I think is how you pronounce his name. He apparently he linked to some other Mother's Day prizes or shirts, and I think it was like a banner or a tapestry or something like that, and a coffee mug, like Happy Mother's Day, Mom, through our store. And at the end of the day, we actually got a little bit of credit out of it as well. So we did get we got a little bit of cheese off of that as well. So thank you so much. But yeah, just click the link store.gamertagradio.com. It'll go take you straight to the store. And you can buy your wares there. And so I'm actually wearing the Gamertag Radio shirt right now. So repping for the brand.
Ooh, nice, man. Definitely, man. And yeah, we're going to have some cool discounts and all that stuff later on. So stay tuned. All right. So let's talk about E3. You know, of course, every week we're E3 is getting closer and closer. We always talk about it and everything. But interesting news about Sony PlayStation, and I think we've been having this conversation, you know, behind the scenes, you know, Pete, Paris, and I, you know, talking about like what to expect and all that stuff. And wow, I think Paris was right again on this one, man. Sony is going to change their traditional press conference, and it's going to be more of, I don't know if it's a Nintendo Direct or I don't know if it's going to be similar to like the last one that they had during PlayStation Experience. You know, they were talking there where it was like the execs talking with the developers and so on. I don't know if it's gonna be like that, but I know it's not gonna be like the previous press conferences at E3. So what are your thoughts, guys, on Sony making this change for this year's E3?
Well, it's kind of like I'd been saying, they don't have to take a risk this year, because they have such a strong known lineup that's coming that they can focus on just that lineup, focus on obviously all the third party games that are coming, and try to do something different with it. So instead of like, remember last year, was it last year? I'm pretty sure it was last year. Literally Sean Latham, I believe it's his name. He came out for 2 seconds and they just showed videos for an hour and then that was it. So, and then I went to PlayStation Experience. They had the couch thing going on where the developers came out, sat on the couch, kind of talked about the games, and then that basically was it. So I got a feeling this E3 is going to kind of be a hybrid of those two, where it's going to be a more intimate experience. Developers actually sitting, talking about the game. They're going to probably have some gameplay going, show highlight videos, whatever. And then you'll have your sizzle reels with the third-party stuff and the indie stuff, and that's going to be it. And they're just going to try and make it a more intimate thing because, excuse me, Sony doesn't have to show us anything new. They don't, because between The Last of Us 2, between Spider-Man, between that Ghost game that's coming from Sucker Punch, and then obviously, you know, they're going to pump up Kojima with Death Stranding. If they just show us those games, that's really good enough. No one's going to complain, oh, Sony sucks, they don't have anything, because they do, because they're showing you, like, these things are coming by the end of 2019. That's really all they got to say. And then they can walk off the stage and keep printing money versus what, I'll leave for the competition. But that's really all they have to do, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think the games that they say they're going to focus on, I think the only one that's coming out this year is just Spider-Man. Everything else is going to be 2019 and maybe 2020. But they have to show gameplay, especially Death Stranding, because I think it's getting to the point that I'm getting tired of just showing video. Show us gameplay, why we should buy it. You know, like I think how Isao Miyake is doing with Spider-Man, great job. They're hyping it up. Now we know how we're going to play and everything. But Death Stranding, like, nobody really knows what that game is about. You know what I'm saying? So I think this is the right time for them to show gameplay now. You know, I know The Last of Us 2, hopefully they'll show gameplay, which I think is also the right time. But we have an idea how that game is, you know? But Death Stranding is like a big, huge question mark. I have no idea what the hell that game is about.
Isn't that what's to be expected from a title like that. I mean, if you look at the last game that he pretty much did with Metal Gear, it was a lot of cutscenes. So it's not a real big surprise that so a game like Death Stranding is going to, especially a game coming out of that mind, right? Because I mean, you think of him, and like you think of many great like storylines and arcs, and so they're going to keep the tapestry on top of the artwork, you know, as much as possible, especially in this day and age, you know, with media and everybody trying to go for the leak and be the first to show whether it's gameplay or what have you. Secondly, I think part of me still thinks that a lot of that is kept in secrecy because I think they're still fleshing a lot of it out. Right. At the end of the day, I mean, it almost seems as if I can't think of the name, the actor's name, but I just remember him as Daryl Dixon from The Walking Dead. It almost seems like he doesn't have an idea as what he's doing. He's just rolling with the motions in the game. But and maybe that's just my cynicism, you know, creeping through. It almost feels like Infinity War, where nobody really knows the real script.
But OK, sorry. But I mean, I guess that's all I'm trying to say is, as long as they're showing you gameplay for these games, I don't think anyone's going to have anything to really complain about. Again, if Insomniac stands on that stage, Ted Price pulls out a controller and he literally here's the start of Spider-Man and walks you through a level of Spider-Man. You're going to be jumping up and down, clapping and screaming because, oh, this is amazing. This is something I can actually play. Same goes for Death Stranding. Kojima comes out and says, you know what? Been showing you clip videos for the past 3 years. Here's actual real with the controller in my hand playing the game. You're going to be excited about it. Then they cut from that. They're all sitting on the couch and they're discussing it. That's really all they got to do for their E3 this year. We don't need to be sold on any hardware. They don't need to sell us on any accessories. We know their first party lineup is strong. They have actually now the past couple years proven to us that, you know what, that extra time we took with our in-house games, look how they've paid off. Horizon Zero Dawn, Game of the Year contender. God of War, Game of the Year contender. You know, and now here we come with some more heavy hitters that potentially can be Game of the Year contenders. That's all their audience is going to really be looking for. And then, like I said, third-party stuff, he shows highlight reels. Hey, this is coming, blah, 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 blah. Yep, everyone clap, slap you on your ass, go home. Done. That's all they got to do.
That's true.
Aside That's from true. The big names, obviously, you know, that we went through, Spider-Man, Death Stranding, so on. Anything else? I mean, aside from like maybe Ghost of Tsushima, which I don't think is even coming out in 2018 because I don't think they've done enough marketing for that game. And I think it's 2019. There's no date listed to it officially. So I'm still curious if they pull the Fallout on that one, right? Or they pull the Bethesda route saying, oh, by the way, Ghost of Tsushima this holiday season, blah, blah, blah. And they go through their little spiel and dog and pony show of the game.
No, I think it doesn't make sense for them to release that game this year. Cause, dude, they're good with just Spider-Man for the holidays. That's it. That's all they need for this year. The rest of the games, should come out next year, 2019. I think that would be a perfect
time. All of them won't.
To release those games.
I don't get the,
you don't
that,
think so?
That Ghost game is probably 2020. Like Death Stranding, Last of Us 2, 19 or 20. That Ghost game is most likely 20. Let's not forget, there's still Dreams that's going to come out. Mm-hmm. There's still Days Gone that's going to come out.
2019.
So, you know, yeah, they'll probably have some Gran Turismo iteration that'll come out in the next couple of years as well. I mean, it's not like, again, they're not hurting for exclusive content. You know, Detroit comes out later this month. So, you know, there's still games. There's more exclusive PlayStation-only games that are coming out, you know, by the end of 2019 and into 2020 that, like I said, they've obviously picked these four as the big highlight ones, but they're not going to be the only ones that they show at this thing. I'd be shocked. Like I said, Dreams and Days Gone are imminent. We'll be having those games within the next calendar year, in my opinion. So there'll be some type of update on them. I mean, Game Informer had the big article on Days Gone and had an interview with the creative director talking about it, which tells me they're pretty close to something. So I do expect then to elaborate on that more at E3 as well, maybe put a date on it.
So I know they're personally, like you were saying to Paris earlier, that we really don't see Sony making any major announcements when it comes to first party. I think they'll be fine with the games that they have there. They're going to focus on that, right? But they also, they're going to have third-party announcements there, which I could see maybe some brand new games like Borderlands 3 maybe announced at the Sony showcase. You know, I could see that. You know, I don't know if they'll show anything with Destiny. They probably will.
Oh, yeah. 1,000% they're going to, whatever that Destiny expansion is, they're showing it at PlayStation because it's going to have PlayStation exclusive content.
Now, what other third party? I hope they show Shenmue finally. Come on. It's been a couple of years. You know, I think this should be the right time to see at least some gameplay or something of Shenmue at this press conference, you know. But anything else do you think that we might see when it comes to like third party announcements
at Final Fantasy Showcase? Final Fantasy VII remake finally.
Okay,
it's true.
Okay,
I mean they did. It was the same announcement, right? The same day as the Shenmue 3. They did all of those that same PlayStation event that we went to at E3. Was it 2 years ago? I want to say maybe three.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Kingdom Hearts? They probably will show Kingdom Hearts here.
Potentially. I mean, I think a lot of stuff with the third party things is you may get a partial update at PlayStation. And then again, like we're talking Square Enix has their own thing going on. You'll probably get more information at their thing. But I think the Square thing is actually before PlayStation, right?
Yes, it's before.
Yeah, so then they probably...
Wait, is it?
I think
so. Somebody double check?
I think so. I want to say it's Monday morning. But anyways, let's just assume it is for this conversation. If it is, then Square probably announces it at their thing, and then we get further elaboration at PlayStation. Maybe. I mean, it all depends on how they want to delve out this event that we're going to go to. So, I don't know. It'd be interesting. Again, I'd rather them try something different and just keep doing the same thing over and over again. So, I mean, you know, we'll see.
Now, my question to you guys, you know, every year E3's been changing a lot. You know, a lot of companies leaving, changing the way how they used to do the press conferences now is showcase. Do you think that with this change, do you prefer the old style press conference, like how Microsoft, I think right now is the only one that's going to have a traditional press conference, or do you like this new way that Sony and Nintendo and other companies are doing now? Some of them pre-recorded videos or just have the changes that Sony are making now for this year's E3?
Well, I just think it depends on what you have to show. I don't think third parties, let's just pick on Ubisoft as an example. I don't think unless they got a bunch of new things that we just don't know about, I don't necessarily need a big press conference with a host coming out on stage and, you know, these people coming up. Honestly, they could do a direct video and like, hey, here's this, and I'm good. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, these press conferences things meant a lot more, you know, for delving out the information. But now with the way the social media works and just the way we're all connected and mobile devices and everything, we're on Twitch right now streaming, you can legitimately get away with a Twitch stream showing off what you got. And I'm not going to complain. I know, like I said, I don't need to be sitting in an audience, you know, and again, have Phil Spencer or someone come out on stage and tell me about their game. You could have a pre-recorded event, stream it, live stream it, whatever, and I could watch it that way. And I feel like I'm still getting the same information. I'm not missing out on anything. I mean, we're actually at E3, so there is a component. So yeah, we like to be with our friends and we all sit together and we can clap and cheer and do all that kind of stuff and talk about it real time. But for the average person, I don't think it's necessarily something that's needed anymore.
And you, Pete?
It's almost like pomp and circumstance, right? When you talk about these shows, I mean, there's a dedicated audience for people who want to go to those large scale press conferences. I still think to a degree, you still want to get that live audience participation and reaction and response. So when you have, you know, we'll use, you know, the, you know, either Sony or Microsoft, because obviously Nintendo is very, very slim when it comes to those type of pickings, but you want to be able to portray the response from the crowd to the audience. Because, I mean, now the way with social media and live streaming, yeah, they're going to likely stream it for people who can't go. I mean, they've done that, you know, they've done that a lot more recently than they have in the past. But you want to be able to, you know, you want to be able to pan off to the audience and show the reactions, you know, showing hip hop gamer running down the aisle, you know, in excitement, you know, showing the crowd, you know, chanting their favorite titles, just seeing the oohs, you know, hearing the oohs and ahs from the audience. So you're always going to want to have those press conferences, you know, that cater to the live audience so that you can have that as footage. And keep that within the archives. So you can always reference back, you know, to crowd audience participation or response. Can you get the same message? Yeah, but I think for those that are in attendance, it's a lot more fun because you're there. I mean, you get, and I will use last year's Sony's press conference as an example. While, yes, you could have seen the way the water was dropping during the God of War announcements, seeing it live with the water, and I don't know if you guys remember it, but they had like a water theme on the stage, and it was doing these weird designs through water as it fell and cascaded down from the roof onto the floor. Little things like that, the effect of snow falling down for Horizon Zero Dawn's sequel or the DLC that they were doing. Things like that, you know, truly bring the live audience and have them immersed and have them feel as if they're part of the experience, part of the announcement, part of the discussion. So I think there's a place for it. We actually watched the Ubisoft one from our apartment, you know, last year. So there's a good and bad, right? Like you can be there live and you can catch the experience, or I don't think you miss a lot out of it, but I do think that from a corporate or an enterprise perspective, you're going to want to have that just because you want to be able to capture the experience and the reaction from the audience live.
But I mean, what Paris was saying earlier, if they don't have any major announcements, then what is the point of having a press conference? You know what I'm saying? Like it just doesn't make sense in my opinion. I know a couple of years ago, Nintendo decided to just have a Nintendo Direct during the week of E3, mm-hmm. because they didn't have a lot of big announcements. Plus, I think they saved a lot of money instead of renting out a location, a venue for them to have the press conference and everything. And I think the way how they've been doing it for the past couple of years has been working for them instead of having that traditional press conference. So
in the case of Nintendo, though, that was pre-Switch. So they were trying to keep the wraps on everything. And I think if you don't have production preparation for a show, you minimize the opportunity for leaks, you know, cause then you don't have, you know, you're not running through, what is it when they're running through the script and how they're going to do things. We're going through like not auditions, but like when they're practicing and setting the stage and doing it, that's when, you know, the people that are setting up stages, whomever, you open up the opportunity for leaks. Right. And again, this is all, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm assuming at this point, but Nintendo was keeping their, you know, the lid on their Switch stuff really, really tight. You know, they're trying to minimize leaks. So when you do something like that, you don't really, you know, you're minimizing your risk at that point. Rehearsal. Thank you, Arctic. So I'm just saying that in an instance like that, yeah, Nintendo diverted to doing the Direct because they didn't want to try to potentially, you know, have anything leak out from what they were working on because nobody really knew. Now, in hindsight, it looks like it worked for them, and now they don't have to outlay the cash to set up a big press conference prior to E3 because they know that the Direct works. And I think that's just part of the evolution of E3. I mean, Some companies are going to want to do their own thing. We've seen it with EA running off and going doing EA Play, not having to do their thing on site. You know, now, you know, Microsoft's shifted over. I don't think that they're going to go away. It's just going to be a shift in the way they deliver it to the audience.
Speaking about Microsoft, your thoughts on them out of the big three, the only ones having a traditional press conference and also having FanFest part of the press conference and also showcase that they're planning to have that week during E3.
Well, they're in a different space right now than where PlayStation is. And I know we got a voicemail coming that's asking my opinion on something. So I'll try to not talk over that now. But they're in a different space where I think it's very important that they do have the quote unquote traditional press conference, because, you know, we'll obviously see on in a month when we're there. But I think it's very important they kind of lay out a roadmap for the next few years on what's coming and what we can expect from them on from a gaming standpoint. I know we've beaten that to death, so I won't go too in depth other than to just say for them, I think they do need to kind of explain, here's what we're working on, here's what we're expecting from it, down the line, so that people that have invested, you know, in the Xbox One platform and their services know what they can expect to come. Whereas with Sony, they've already told you what's coming, you know, probably, you know, as far as their big games, so they don't need to re-explain all that stuff again. So they can just show gameplay, give a little additional insight into it, and be done. I think that's the difference between the two.
And you, Pete, before we go to the next topic?
At the end of the day, Microsoft is still a traditional company. Yeah, they like to espouse culture and a lot, but I think they still have a lot to show and prove at this year's E3. You know, they used last year's announcement for, you know, Xbox One X, because they had a monster announcement. I think they need to do something like that again this year, because they've got a lot more games that they need to show. And I'm hoping that they actually show them. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do this year for E3.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think right now it's time for us to continue our Miss Leo E3 predictions.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. Now, I can usually tell you things about your future by using the power of my tarot cards. But when it comes to video games, only the guys at Gamertag Radio can give you the E3 predictions. You hear me?
All right, so this time, we're going to predict Ubisoft. So, who would like to start with this E3 prediction?
I can do this. I think I'll start off the discussion on this one. I'm going to break mine down into two compartments, right? The knowns and the unknown announcement ones. For knowns, I mean, we saw it last year, Skull and Bones. I think we're going to see more. I think we're going to see an announcement of obviously more gameplay. I think we're going to see a beta of some type of announcement, because obviously a game like that, it's focusing on multiplayer PvP type environment. So I think we're going to see stuff like that. We're going to see the annual announcement of the newest Just Dance, because, you know, Just Dance, we have to have our dancing stuff. We're going to have the girls and boys on stage in brightly colored clothing.
and your boy Flo Rida performing.
Absolutely. Flo Rida on stage.
on stage
every year. We're going to see The Crew 2, which I'm really looking forward to. That game is a lot of fun. You and I were crashing into each other like crazy at the last, I think it was pre-Gamescom, that we got a chance to hang out in San Francisco. So we're going to see that. The Division 2, we know. We're going to see something like that. They finally, you know, pulled back the cloth on that one. So I think that goes so far as the known ones. For the announcements and stuff that we're not that we may or may not have known about, then we're going to see Far Cry 5 download, you know, DLC announced. I think it's about that time. The game's been launched, successful. A lot of people giving it praise. We're going to see Beyond Good and Evil 2. At least an announcement, because I think that game came out last year. And so I think we're going to see an announcement for a 2019, possibly 2020. We're going to see Watch Dogs 3 announcement. And then probably the worst kept secret in gaming, Splinter Cell.
Okay. You have it. Okay. Paris?
So Pete basically said everything I would say, so I'm not going to just sit here and repeat it, but yeah. I'm going to add on a Miss Leo.
Oh, here we go.
Ooh. So they're going to come out and they're going to announce another collaboration with Nintendo for a Switch-only title staying in the Mario universe. And it's not going to be Rabbids, but it's going to be another collaboration. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but it's going to be another collaboration with Nintendo in the Mario universe and a Ubisoft franchise. I don't know which one it's going to be yet, but that's going to be my guess. And I'll hedge my bet and say if it's not Mario, it's going to be Donkey Kong. How about that?
Ooh. Okay. You know what? I'll take it to the next level with that. I think that we might see an Assassin's Creed game for the Nintendo Switch finally. I could see that happening. I could also see maybe a new title announced at this press conference too. And Splinter Cell will be good. Like I think we talked about this open world. That makes sense for them to do that. And I think we might get an announcement of a new Assassin's Creed game for 2019. They'll show like a little teaser for next year. That's what I think.
Where?
What do you mean where?
I'm saying like where? Give me a location.
Hey, look, Miss Leo's not that powerful, okay? I just woke up. So Miss Lee was not 100%, but I can see them teasing for the next Assassin's Creed for 2019, holiday 2019.
So question about Assassin's Creed. Do you think they start back down the path after they saw the success of Origins with having, of seeing what happens when you actually successfully span out time between your releases? You don't start going back down the path of yearly releases. Do you think we start seeing Ubisoft do Assassin's Creed, support it for a year plus with DLC and improvements, and then take a break and then drop another one elsewhere? Or do you think that they fall back into that same path of into that same rut of repeat, rinse and repeat, cut paste, rinse and repeat?
No, I think that they probably will show an expansion, brand new story and everything for this Assassin's Creed that came out, Origins, that's probably going to come out later this year for those that want to have like more new content. Now, I think it will make sense for them to maybe release a new title, but the way how things been going with Ubisoft for the past few years, it's possible that they will probably just release more expansions in the future. That's possible too, man.
I mean, there's so much lore and history within Egypt that Ubisoft could rely on the Egypt experience to go for another year plus, right? Continue to refine the game and clear out the bugs that may have been, you know, that may have stuck around. Focusing on the gods, you know, Set, you know, and all those. Horus, you know, all the Egyptian gods. I think there's a lot of opportunity there for them. And I say this with the best intent, and I don't want it to sound negative or derogatory, but they've got a lot of water they can squeeze out of that rock, right? So they can, there's opportunity there for them to allow Assassin's Creed Origins to continue to expand in Egypt before or while maybe split. I mean, there's enough team members and studios around the world that work collaboratively on that. Have a group focusing, you know, or have a couple of studios working, or maybe split the worldwide teams. So while they're working on Egypt, at the same time, they're working on the next expanse, China. I mean, I know they did it with the platformer of Assassin's Creed, but they could go into, you know, Far East, way back China with like Genghis Khan and stuff like that. You know, go to Russia with the czars and stuff like that. You know, there's crazy opportunity, you know, elsewhere in the world that they could do, and they can, you know, timeline it. Hell, they could go back into the world of dinosaurs with cavemen Templars and stuff like that. Now I'm just talking stupid stuff, but I mean, I think they can squeeze that rock a little bit more. They don't have to do constant releases, but they can just keep giving us content chunks to appease the players. I mean, we saw the response last year when the game released. Keep playing with that theme of Egypt and then bring us elsewhere.
Now, let me continue with my Miss Leo predictions that two of their games that is going to be announced, those two are going to have marketing deals with Xbox. So they probably will show Splinter Cell at the Microsoft press conference, and also The Division 2. They'll show that also at the Microsoft press conference and stuff. So now, personally, I think it will be better for Microsoft and Ubisoft to start their press conference with Splinter Cell first. Maybe have at the Ubisoft press conference kind of ended with, not totally ended with that, but ended with The Division, because I think that's going to be the focus of their press conference. That's going to be the main focus. And then after The Division, show a brand new teaser, a brand new game or something for 2019. A little teaser at the end and just wrap it up right there. Boom. Just, you know, let everybody be surprised with that announcement. What do you guys think? Think it sounds good or not?
Well, I think I told you about Splinter Cell kicking off the Xbox press conference the other day. Give me the credit I deserve. How about that?
All right. I'll give credit to Paris. Paris, are you okay? Are you happy?
Plagiarism.
Yeah.
Are you happy, sir?
No, I'm not happy because I wanted my credit when I should have got it. No, you're right. No, you're right, though. I mean, the
plagiarism.
I do think unless they got a quote unquote one more thing, surprise, new IP or returning franchise we don't know about, most likely they close the show with The Division 2. And I hate saying this. I really hate saying this because I think it's a mistake if it happens. But I am no longer going to be shocked that The Division 2 comes out this holiday. I think it's a mistake.
Now, you give me credit on that.
No, I'm telling you it's a mistake. I'm not giving you credit on nothing. I'm just telling you if it happens, it's a mistake. I think it should come next year. I don't think it should come this year. But, you know, it's starting to look like it is.
All right, for a business move, Paris, let's be real. Which one will be more powerful coming out of the holiday season, though?
Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell is going to outshine and outsell The Division if it comes out. No, I don't think so.
And here's why. Because with The Division, you're tapping into a younger audience, right? There was no such thing as The Division or, you know, in the Tom Clancy universe prior to The Division coming out. When you say Splinter Cell, you're tapping into people who played Splinter Cell many, many, many years ago. And you're going to start to scratch that itch of people who are looking forward to having Splinter Cell back in their gaming experience. Okay. I don't want to go back into the same argument that me and Paris keep, you know, beating you over the head with, you know, release times. We as gamers haven't had a Splinter Cell in what, 5-6 years?
It's been a while.
Yeah. In gaming time, that's a long time to be outside of the ecosystem. So when you bring back a title with the history, the back catalog of Splinter Cell, I mean, you just hear the pwee with the lights, with the three little green lights flashing. That's it. You know, you send people into crazy land, looking forward to that title. Yes, you're going to have a similar, you know, uptick in excitement for The Division, but we're talking Splinter Cell. Splinter Cell is a title that has spanned 15, 20 plus years now in gaming history. If you think about it, that's a lot of people, not just The Division, but that's a long expanse of time. That's a game that, and if they do something like a co-op, something like that, can you imagine? And in this discussion, I'm actually looking at someone like Paris who can sit there, and I just had a crazy thought. What if Sam Fisher has a son that's growing up as a spy, and you've got someone like Paris who can play co-op with Trey, right? And now you're having that father-son experience similar to God of War, right? But in the same, you know, co-op experience, you're sitting there having a co-op experience with your son as Sam Fisher and his son, or a protege or something like that. But you're having that co-op experience on the couch playing Splinter Cell. And at the same time in game, you're doing the same exact thing. You're having, you know, you're growing up. It's a crazy thought. I'm not saying it's going to be it, but it's something that would be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be like, boy.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, headlight. Boy.
Now, you know what I could see this. Ubisoft will announce Splinter Cell, and they'll say, oh yeah, when you pre-order the game, you're going to have also one of the old games from Splinter Cell. Now, if they do announce that, which game from the original Xbox or 360 days they should release once you pre-order the new Splinter Cell?
Blacklist.
Blacklist. Why?
Remastered.
4K?
Well, I said this before. I think you put them all. That's all of them.
Oof.
Why not?
For pre-order or for Game Pass or for both?
Maybe pre-order. You're not going to necessarily hedge on people doing Game Pass, but I'd like to see the original Splinter Cell, Pandora Tomorrow, Chaos Theory, all those come back, backwards compatibility available. So maybe it's not even a pre-order thing. You just announce it at the same time that these are now on the backwards compatibility list with all the Xbox One X enhancements. I think that would be a good incentive for people to want to pick up, you know, the Xbox version versus going to PC or want to get on PlayStation. And then maybe, like Pete is saying, you throw in one of the later games as that pre-order incentive, like Blacklist or something like that. But take those original Xbox ones, just make those available. You know, like, hey, if you still got the disc, you can go play it.
Like Tom Clancy's Essentials, which was never released on, it was on PlayStation Portable or something like that. You know, hey, maybe you launch that for a PlayStation exclusive for the Vita.
I think we're going to see more of the Game Pass announcements with Ubisoft and other companies.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I can see that.
Replaying Chaos Theory in 4K?
Oof. I mean, they could do it with Red Dead Redemption, the first one, in 4K.
Yeah, Chaos Theory was 2005, 2006. It's possible.
Yeah. It's possible. It's possible. Cool. Hey, I like this prediction, man. It was pretty good. Really good. Let us know your thoughts, guys. All the listeners, send us email questions and feedback. Send it to fanmail@gamertagradio.com or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio or give us a call. 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. All right. And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, Pete. You got some questions, email, voicemails.
I've got audios queued up. It's up to you. Which one do you want to start with? You want to go audio or you want to read?
Let's go with audio.
Okay, because he's not ready. Here we go.
Hey guys. Just want to give a big shout out to Danny, Paris, and Pete. I want you guys to keep up the good work, always keeping it real. My name is Ben. Just wanted to give you guys a shout. And a quick question is, this E3, I asked you guys around the same time last year, who are you most excited to see at E3 and who are you least excited to see just based on the conferences so far? To answer the question to, last Thursday's podcast, somebody called in and asked like a game that took a complete 180 from their E3 conference. I was going to say No Man's Sky to that. Now, a lot of people might have some varying opinions on that, but that's just the way that I saw it. And lastly, I just wanted to give a shout. My band just put out a song on SoundCloud I think you guys might like. The band's name is Outcast of Eden, and our song is called Online Gamer. If you ever get a chance, just get on SoundCloud and listen to it. It would be a huge thing just to hear your feedback on that. Just getting started and whatnot. And again, big shout out to you guys. Keep up the good work. Keep it real. And I hope to hear from you guys real soon. All right. Again, thanks.
Game that I am looking forward to seeing the most, CDPR, Cyberpunk 2077. That's the one game that has me itching and clamoring for information.
And the least?
Oh, the least? I don't know. I don't know if I have something that I just don't want to... Just Dance?
Okay.
That's the easy answer. The one I'm looking forward to the least is Just Dance.
He said also, was it press conference?
The press conference I'm looking forward to the least.
Yeah.
Out of the majors, I'd probably say Nintendo, because I don't know if they have anything that I'm so amped up that I'm looking forward to. I mean, they really blew it out. They blew it out of the park last year, you know, with Super Mario and every other game that's come out. So having them, I don't know if there's a title that they've got coming out. Now they'll probably surprise us with something. We'll talk about that on another show coming up, you know, as we get closer to E3. But I don't think I have anything that I'm like so stoked that I'm going to be looking forward to it.
Ooh, at least I have a tie. At first, I didn't have this company in there because I was expecting something bigger. But now that they basically leaked what are they going to announce, I think it's a tie between EA and Sony. I'm not like I think they're fine with what they have, but any major announcements, I just don't see it. Now, the one I'm curious about, like, I think Nintendo's going to do fine. They're going to do fine with their press conference. But I think Microsoft is the mystery because nobody really knows what's going on. So it kind of got me all excited. And yes, P, I have to agree with you. Cyberpunk 2077, I'm definitely super excited about that game. So what about you, Paris?
Yeah, I mean, most anticipated, kind of just going off of what both of you said, I would say individual game, it's probably Cyberpunk for me, because I just want to see what the next thing from CD Projekt Red is going to look like, and what, you know, what style of gameplay they're going to go for with that game. I would say, yeah, press conference, just overall, yeah, it's Microsoft, because they are the huge unknown. We just don't know what they're going to show off, what we can expect from them over the next few years. So there's just that big mystery of it. So I'm really excited to see that. I'd say runner up game though would be Anthem from EA. I really want to see how that's going to play out, what it's going to be, what we can expect from it, etc. Least, it's a hard question to say, because I mean, there's nothing like I'm like, oh God, I don't want to see this. So I mean, I don't know. I mean, all snark aside, I'm going to punt on that one, because I just don't, there's nothing that I'm just like, oh my God, don't show me this. I'm not anticipating this. I mean, all games I want to see at E3. What?
So you're looking forward to Just Dance 2018?
Why not? What if it's open world co-op or something? I don't know. You don't know.
Yeah. Battle Royale.
Oh.
Battle Royale.
You know what?
Battle Royale.
I'm glad you said that. That is my least anticipated thing of E3. Anything that's Battle Royale. I'm already over it.
So what if Cyberpunk has Battle Royale? Does that tick you off and make you walk out of the CDPR press room?
It would be disappointing if it was. Definitely. I say that because I feel like there will be games that have Battle Royale that have no business having Battle Royale. They're doing it just to do it. And that could be disappointing to me. And, you know, obviously an example of this is going to be Call of Duty, which we'll see next or this week when people listen to it, what that mode's going to be. I don't necessarily know that Call of Duty needs it. There's a curiosity of what it's going to be, but I just think overall at E3, there's just going to be way too many games that are trying to do it. And like I said, I just think it's going to just dilute the pool for what BR could be.
All right, let's go with the next voicemail.
I just had a funny thought as Paris trailed off there. Splatoon Rabbids Battle Royale on the Switch. There's your title.
Someone's going to do a comedic Battle Royale. So that actually is not that crazy of a thought that we could see them do it with Rabbids.
Actually, those two titles together, Splatoon and Rabbids, you know, shooting color and with the silliness of Rabbids in a Battle Royale theme, doesn't sound like a bad idea. It would almost, it could almost work. Not to say it will, but I just think those two titles, they're just two groups that you would never expect to see together on a game. I guess similar to Rabbids and Mario. We never really thought that would happen. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe that's something that we'll see coming up.
You know, I could see Fortnite coming out for the Switch that week.
I wouldn't even be surprised. I mean, that's something that's thoroughly plausible at this point. I mean, with the rate at which Epic just keeps releasing content and announcements and changes.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if they do something like that.
And it's available right now.
Yeah.
Everybody, what?
Yeah. Everybody pulls out their Switch and jumps on Wi-Fi and starts crashing the Wi-Fi because they're downloading the game. So
definitely.
All right. Here we go. Next audio.
Hey guys, this is Joel in Washington. Quick question. I listened to another podcast and they think that basically the Xbox One is done and they shouldn't be releasing Halo potentially or any other titles, that they should just kind of focus on the next generation console. I don't necessarily agree with that. I feel like PlayStation still has a while before they need another console. And I think Xbox can make a lot of changes with their exclusive stuff to, you know, at least bringing up the part of what PlayStation is doing. But just kind of want to get your guys' idea on that. Should Xbox just give it up and Microsoft go to the next gen or what? Love the show. Talk to you later.
Xbox One done? Yeah, that's not going to happen. I don't see that happening in any way, shape, or form. They have way too much invested from a hardware, software, infrastructure perspective to just table the whole thing as a result. And that's all I'm really going to say. I don't want to speak negatively of any other podcast or show or what have you. I just don't think that that's something that'll come down the pike. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to be critical and all that, but to say that Xbox One is done, I think it's over the top. They're doing fine. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, they're doing not fine. To say that they don't have their own shortcomings, which they're aware of. They know. It's not like we're coming down the it's not like we're coming down the mountain with tablets here when we say that, you know, when we've pointed out their shortcomings. They're aware of them. They're well aware. I mean, Phil Spencer, Aaron, and everybody else over there at Xbox, they're acutely aware of what's going on in the industry, especially as how it pertains to the Xbox brand. They are aware. They're working on it. You know, we're just hopeful that they can deliver. You know, we want them to deliver because we want competition in gaming. We want Sony to take a step back and say, oh, crap. Well done. Well played. Now we need to step it up. We want Nintendo to turn around and say, well done, folks in Redmond. Good job. Let's do it. Keep it up, because competition is good for us. Because if you start giving us a competing brand on with the hardware on that Xbox One X, come on. I mean, they've got it from a service perspective. You know it. We've seen it with Xbox Live and with Games Pass. They start bringing it with first party titles. People start to say, you know, people start having second thoughts.
Paris, Xbox One is done.
I mean, it's not done. And I forget where the financials came out or whatever. I mean, and you and I talked about this. Sales wise, they're fine. They're making money. They're not losing anything. This isn't a disaster for Microsoft and they're in danger of shutting down the Xbox brand or anything crazy like that. The difference is PlayStation is selling at such a historic rate that it does look bad just from a bird's eye view, because they're literally being outsold 2-1. But even at 2-1, that one is selling just fine. They're not hurting. If I had to interpret what the voicemailer was saying, from what he heard elsewhere, is not that Xbox the brand is in trouble, that why worry about putting out your heavy hitting titles on Xbox One, because basically the audience that you're going to capture, they're already loyal to the brand. They're going to buy the hardware and whatever games you have out anyways. You're not going to push the needle if you start putting Halo 6 and Gears 5 and all these things out on Xbox One. Why not hold them until the next Xbox and then use that as an incentive for people to run out and go buy your hardware then, because now you have all these big AAA, I guess it's quadruple A is the new term now, titles that you'll have exclusive, you know, at launch for your next system. I don't agree with that. I think the next Xbox is way too far away to be holding back on games. If they got studios that are working on stuff and they're ready to go in the next year or two, you put them out. You don't hold them back. The only exception I've ever had to that was Halo 4. Because I don't think the 360 was in a position that they needed Halo 4 at that time. they'd have been better off having Halo 4 being a launch title for Xbox One. I thought that would have gone we might be having a different conversation right now if Halo 4 was at launch for Xbox One than we're having right now. I think that's how significant that title could have been at that time. So, no, I don't agree with what they're saying, that they're in trouble. They're fine. And if you got games, start putting them out. You know, because as someone who has now invested in Xbox One X, I wanted to see games on that platform.
Definitely. All right, we have an email here. This is from Jonathan. What's up, guys? What are the chances of Remedy's mysterious game being announced at E3 is an Alan Wake sequel? Also, maybe it's time to get an enhance for the original. Didn't the license for the music in Alan Wake expire? What would prevent any potential enhanced versions? Just a thought. Love to hear your feedback. Alan Wake sequel. Is that a Remedy's property, or that's Microsoft?
That's Remedy.
I know
that's Remedy.
That's why it's on. That's why it's on Steam.
Because I think
Remedy owns it.
Yeah. I think that instead of having an Alan Wake sequel, I think it's possible for us to see a Quantum Break sequel instead. I just don't see Alan Wake coming back anytime soon. And I'm a huge fan of Alan Wake. Huge fan.
All snark aside, do you think that Quantum Break deserves a sequel?
No.
And step away, take the fan hat off, Danny, because I know you're a big fan, and I know Paris and I dig you on that one, on the Quantum Break title. But all snark aside, Do you think it deserves a sequel? Honestly,
no, because I think it would be better for them, for Remedy, to have a brand new IP that will be available for all systems. Because if they do have a Quantum Break sequel, and they'll have it available, let's say, on PlayStation and other systems, it just doesn't make no sense to me, in my opinion. I think it's better for them to have a brand new IP, in my opinion. That's what I think. I might be wrong, but...
Okay.
And this is coming from a huge fan of Remedy. I'm
right. No, and that's why I'm asking you to make that determination and stepping outside of, you know, taking off the fan hat and talking about it, because I know you were critical. Well, we were critical about it. You loved it, right? You're a fan.
I finished it all difficulties. I played it so many times. I unlocked new stuff, everything. I think, in my opinion, the final boss was okay. But overall, it was a good game. I liked it. I liked the concept. That's the thing with Remedy that I love. This is why I love their games. They like to do new things, and they love the whole episodic thing. Like when let's say you finish a chapter, they'll go back and says previously on Alan Wake, and they show stuff that happened through the first chapter or anything. And then it's cool. I think it's awesome. You know, I would like to see that for more developers to do the whole TV series / gaming. You know, a lot of companies don't do that, and they were the ones that honestly that started the whole thing, man, in my opinion, you know. So, good. All right, we have another voicemail?
Yep, we have two more.
All right, let's go for it.
Let's see here. We'll go with this one. Here we go.
It's crazy. Hey, what's up, fellas, man? You know, appreciate the show. You know, fantastic show. This is just another question, I guess, for Paris. It's more of like a what would you do? I hear you guys continuously kind of like bash Microsoft for the lack of games. Me, I'm a casual player. I have Xbox as my primary console. And I feel that I'm familiar with the ins and outs of the gaming industry, but I still choose that particular console as my primary go-to for gaming. Of course, I only play like a handful of games. But my question would be, what would you do in Spencer's position? I understand that everybody's looking for games. You know, that's of course, priority number one. But aside from that, what else would you do to reshape and mold Microsoft? Because Microsoft is not in a bad spot. You know, I can understand that, you know, to the Andre Nan, somebody that will probably listen to the podcast, may think that, all right, damn, man, they make it seem like Microsoft is in a bad position. And that's not necessarily true. So I guess my question, that would be just my sole question. Like, what would you guys do, especially Paris, if you were in Spencer's position, aside from putting GameStop? All right, man. Appreciate the show. Keep up the great work. All right, folks.
Well, Paris, the floor is yours.
I was going to have a smart ass comment and make a joke, but I'm not. I appreciate the voicemail. And I'll just say this, that, and this may sound kind of cop outy, but look, what happened in 2013 happened. I think Phil Spencer coming on as the head of their gaming division was the right move. I also think that what they've done by doubling down on their services over the past few years and creating things like Game Pass, and obviously Xbox Live is still the gold standard for what you'd want to do on the multiplayer side. You know, the backwards compatibility initiative that they've been doing, these are all great things. Obviously, Xbox Play Anywhere is another great service that they're doing. That was the right move. The gaming stuff is where you got to ding them at, because they made decisions, and maybe these things were decided back in 2013, and obviously things change. But you look at something like Scalebound, you look at something like the Fable game that was going to come out. And sorry, Danny, I mean, I know you won't like me saying this. You look at a game like Sunset Overdrive, you look at something like Quantum Break, you look at something like Rise. These were new IPs that they attempted, and either they did come out and people were just not interested in them, or something like Scalebound in the Fable game, whatever happened in the development cycle, whatever model that they were taking with it, they realized it was a mistake and they got canceled. And what that did was it created this wide gap right now of, we don't know what the hell is coming out. You know what I'm saying? We just don't know. Obviously, again, you even look at the decision that they made with the Halo 5. While it wasn't a terrible game, it could have been a lot better. So Halo, their gold standard IP, is even on shaky ground right now, because the next iteration of Halo has to absolutely knock it out of the park, or that IP is in trouble. Again, look at the Master Chief Collection. Great idea in theory, but its execution was flawed, which now they're trying to fix again. So I think where we stand right now in 2018 with the Xbox brand and where Microsoft is trying to go, I'm digging it. It's like I said previously in the show, get up on that stage at E3, give us a roadmap for games that are coming out. And the thing is, these games need to absolutely hit when they do come out. They need to be critical successes. They need to have that word of mouth. And quite honestly, and I'm not saying it needs to be that particular type of game, Microsoft needs their God of War. They do. They need something that is going to have the entire gaming community talking about it. It is a huge critical success. The word of mouth is great. And, you know, hell, every gaming site on the planet is doing a freaking spoiler cast on it. They need that game. They don't have that game right now. Sorry, Sea of Thieves is not it. State of Decay 2 is not it. You know, Forza Horizon 4 is not going to be it. I'll tell you what, if Gears 5 comes out this year, it ain't going to be it. To me, that's, they're freaking rushing it. And the fact that it's looking like we're not getting Halo 6 this year is a good thing for them, because I think whatever you do with Halo, take your time and get it right. Bottom line, they got to get it right, because those mistakes that happened back in 2013, 2014, we should be seeing the sequels to those games right now, and we're not seeing them because they weren't a success. Like conversation we had previously, you know, talking about Quantum Break. Again, I'm not trashing it. He asked a question, I'm being honest. Sunset Overdrive falls right into it. I know people love to say that that's the darling game everyone seems to love, but it sold like crap, and there's not going to be a sequel. So that is a problem. You know, let's even look at the Titanfall thing. Yeah, they did the exclusive window with it, but it didn't sell. Hell, even the sequel didn't sell, and it was multiplat. So maybe that's a problem with the game and not, you know, Xbox as a whole. So all I'm trying to say is, long-winded on this, they've been going down the right path to fix the quote-unquote problem that they have. And like we said previously, they're not hurting sales-wise. It's just their competition is selling at a historic rate. They just have to show a real roadmap for games. Like I said, if you're rebooting Fable, do Fable right. Give me Perfect Dark. Give me a Banjo-Kazooie. Give me new IPs. That Santa Monica studio that's coming online right now is a quote-unquote quadruple A studio. So don't just do another game we already know about. Make a new IP at the studio, something we've never seen. Get your Horizon Zero Dawn or your God of War or your Witcher 3, whatever great game that's come out this generation that you want to compare it to. But Microsoft needs their own game that does that. That's only on their platform that you can't play anywhere else. And until then, they're always going to be seen as the quote unquote secondary gaming platform. Because again, I mean, you don't even have to compare it to the PlayStation right now. Let's compare it to what Nintendo has done. Nintendo had two Game of the Year contenders last year. Name me the last time Microsoft has had one. I'll wait.
Been a couple of years.
More than a couple.
Very, very
more than time. A couple.
But wait, I'll say this as a person that loved Sunset Overdrive, and I know you guys don't like it, and that's fine. I think it was a fun game, and honestly, Insomniac, the reason why they now, of course, they started working on Spider-Man back in the day, but a couple years ago now, they also got inspired with the design because of also Sunset Overdrive, which is a fact. They even mentioned that in a bunch of interviews, right? The thing is with Microsoft, everybody is bashing about all these new IPs that didn't sell much and everything, but at least they took that risk, man. Even if a lot of people,
but that's not the
like
question
games,
that we're talking that, about right now. That they took a
I
risk
know,
with it. What we're
I'm
saying,
just,
he look, he's
Paris,
asking
Paris,
me.
Let me finish.
No, let me say this. He
let me finish. I'm talking.
But you're going.
Here.
But you're talking. About, that's not what we're talking about. What you're saying.
I'm just. I was trying to try to bring something up about that conversation that you answered. So I'm answering. Based on what you just said, you said that they need to release new IPs. And I think they've done that, right? But it just didn't sell. Some of them was a disaster, but at least they took a risk, I think. You know, if Microsoft stayed just releasing the same games over and over, I think that's not enough, man. They need to start releasing new games that, like you said, Horizon, great game, new IP, Game of the Year contender. They need to release those type of games like that. Not exactly like it, but at least they're taking that risk, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at Alan Wake. Alan Wake, at that time when it came out, new IP and everything, but it was a cult classic from the 360, man. They need to release games like that, man. More. Instead of just depending on Halo and Gears. That's what I'm trying to say. And I'm defending Sunset Overdrive too, Mega. You bash it like two, three times.
But see,
so
that's not what I'm saying, though. I'm not bashing anything. I'm going to what he's asking. He's saying the perception of everything that's going on. I'm not bashing it. I'm literally just stating fact. This isn't about if you like the game or not. It's just the fact of what happened. This isn't of, oh, let's go get the sword and shield and defend the previous games. They didn't sell for whatever reason. That is the point that I'm trying to make. And all I'm saying is, if you're going to come out with new IPs, then you need to find a model that works, that's going to appeal to your audience so that people are running out to go buy it. I will say it again. Name me the last time Microsoft has had an exclusive Game of the Year contender. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that to bash it. I'm not being snarky. It's just a fact. Until they get to that point again, until they can have, again, top of my head, Horizon Zero Dawn, a God of War, or potentially a Spider-Man, or a Legend of Zelda, or a Mario Odyssey,
yeah,
that you can only play on your platform. They don't have that right now. And that's all I'm saying. And he asked me what to do to fix it. I'm telling you what to do to fix it. That's what fixes it. Give me a game on the Xbox One platform that I'm like, oh my God, I don't care how much it costs. I got to go get an Xbox so that I got to go play this. That's all I'm saying. And they don't have that. And they've not had that since the 360.
And it's not for want of trying. Right? It's not like they haven't tried. And like you said, they've tried it with the Recores. They've tried it with Sea of Thieves. And we've said it in the past, it's finding that studio. I mean, hell, they had the opportunity with Ori. They've had it with Cuphead. They've seen the successes when you have a rock solid game. Unfortunately, those two examples aren't what people would consider AAA titles that you could launch consoles based on just Cuphead or just on Ori. Fantastic titles, fantastic gameplay, but they're not large enough to be the, you know, to be held up as the gold standard for that console. They just And it's hard. You can't, it's difficult to find those studios that are able to pump out phenomenal game after phenomenal game after phenomenal game. It's finding the unicorn. And right now they're on the hunt. They can't find the hunt. They can't find the unicorn. They've found smaller versions of them. They've found the mini versions of them, but they haven't been able to find the AAA. So it's not for want of trying. It's just that the ones that they've that, and I don't want to say hedged their bets on, but the ones that they thought were going to be the ones haven't panned out, you know, which are the Sunset Overdrives and the Quantum Breaks and the Recorge and Rises.
And let's be clear here. The Xbox platform, the services that they provide on that platform are the industry leaders in what they're doing. No, nothing's better than Xbox Live right now as far as an online service. Like you said, Game Pass, revolutionary thing that they're doing. The backwards compatibility initiative that they're doing. The fact that they're enhancing these games and bringing something like I said, I got Red Dead on the 360, never played it now. So to me, first time I'm playing it is freaking in 4K. It looks great. Right. The fact that an Xbox One X even exists as a piece of hardware, without a doubt, most powerful piece of hardware on the planet right now, or console on the planet right now. No one's questioning that. Again, I'm not saying that Microsoft is this terrible company, is making the mistakes that were made. What I'm saying is from now moving forward, they've been doing the right things the past couple of years. I applaud everything that I just mentioned, but it really comes down to at the end of the day, they, and we're not talking about on an individual basis. Danny, I know you love Sunset Overdrive or whatever. I love Titanfall. I mean, there's games that have come out that we individually love. I thought Gears of War 4 was a very solid title. But the fact remains, they don't have that game that has the gaming industry abuzz, that has a community abuzz, that is saying, let's do spoiler cast on this. Let's talk about this story because it was so amazing. Or, wow, this new amazing gameplay mechanic that happened in this game that I'm like, wow, we got to get it. And it's selling gangbusters. Name me the last time Microsoft, and I'm just going to pick on God of War for a second, sold 3 million in, what was it, the first week or 2 weeks or whatever the heck it was they came out and said. Microsoft hasn't had that this generation. And that's all I'm saying. They got to get to that point. And creating this new Santa Monica studio is a great step. I pray to God there is a Perfect Dark and a Banjo-Kazooie in the works and they do it the right way, because those are two games I will show up for day one. You know, I pray that Halo 6 is everything that I want Halo to be. I pray that the next Gears of War is everything I want it to be. The IPs are there. They just have to take advantage of them and present them and make them something that people desire. That's really all it comes down to. That's all I'm saying. Again, he asked me, so I'm answering. That's my answer. A non-snarky, a-hole answer. I hope you appreciate it, because this is how I honestly feel. If I was in charge of Microsoft, this is what I would be doing right now. I think everything Phil Spencer has done since 2014 up until this point has been the right move, except their gaming library. And what I'm saying is from this point forward, from right now moving forward, just get IPs out that we care about, but don't rush them at the same time. If you got to take the L for a couple years because you got to get these things right, then take the L, double down on your services and the third party games and then the Cupheads and the Ori and the Blind Forces of the world to just kind of, you know, keep people satisfied somewhat, and then just knock us out with these amazing games in a couple of years. That, again, I will say that's why this E3 is so important for them, because I think they need to pull back the curtain and show us a lot of the stuff that they're working on. And I'm not talking about gimmick stuff. I don't want to see the return of Kinect or the HoloLens or none of that. Show me games that I know I can play in the next 2 to 3 years that are going to wow me. That's all I care about.
Would you hire me, Paris, if you're in charge?
No, actually, I would hire
wow,
you.
Wow, that's
actually,
messed
I
up.
Would. I would hire you. I would hire you, and I would fire Major Nelson, and you would replace him. You would be the new spokesperson. You'd be the main face. That's what I would do. And I wouldn't fire Larry. Larry's a good guy. I would reassign Larry, but you'd be the guy that's on the front page.
All right. All right, let's play the last voicemail.
Breaking news, Danny Pena works for Microsoft.
Hello, this is David from Baltimore, And I'd like to ask you guys two questions. One is that we already know Marvel is doing a Spider-Man game for PS4, which is coming out this year. But they also got an Avengers game that Square Enix is doing. Do you think that new Avengers game will probably be shown at this year's E3 event? Because I'm really excited about that, because we got to see a little preview of it 2 years ago. Do you think that new game is probably going to be shown for the first time and see what it is? And also, Danny, you made one of the predictions about Skate coming back. There's one game that you guys will probably will love is NBA Street, because I love that game so much. And I think EA should bring that back, a newer update version with the current NBA teams and the players. I think they should bring that back, because that was probably the best basketball game that EA ever done. What do you think? Thank you, and I love your show. Keep up the good work.
Man, not going to lie, I am all in on a brand new NBA Street. And I know people who would support that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, I could see EA showing off the new NBA Live and have a feature in the in that game, NBA Street Home Court, just exclusively on NBA Live. I could see that too happening. You know, because they really want to push and sell NBA Live, because, you know, they're competing with 2K. So I could see that happening instead of having a separate game and stuff. So now, but the whole Marvel stuff, I never heard about that game, but your thoughts, if that's true?
You didn't hear about that? Yeah, that was what, last year, right? Where Square came out that they've collaborated with Marvel and they're working on an Avengers game.
Yes.
To answer his question, right. I think with the success right now, Black Panther and then obviously Infinity War, and we know Spider-Man's coming in September, this would be a great time at E3 for Square to give us an update on that. I would expect that game probably next year, maybe after Avengers 4 or something like that, but at least give us an update, kind of give us a little sneak peek into what they're working on. I think that will go a long way to keep people excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Pete?
Honestly, I haven't looked into it, so I don't know. But I'm all for more Marvel games. Give me Marvel everything. I mean, look at my backdrop, right? Look at what's behind me. I'm all for more comic book related games and stuff.
All right, so I think we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks for listening to episode 761. Remember to go to gamertagradio.com, or you can also listen to our podcast on audioboom.com. Go over there and subscribe. Subscribe to our show. We're everywhere. Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast directories. Make sure to subscribe and share with your friends. And if you ever get the chance, post a review. It will help us out to climb on the top of the charts. And it will help us to get more new listeners. So we need your support. All right. Anything else, guys, from you, Pete Paris, before wrapping up?
Just another happy Mother's Day to all the moms, single moms, married moms, mom's moms.
Yep. Definitely. Just happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And it's a good episode.
Yeah, really good. Really good, man. Thanks for the questions. Make sure to send us more questions. Paris, I'll see you later this week. Hopefully we could continue the conversation about Sunset Overdrive at in LA. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, man. Can't wait. Can't wait to attend the event, man.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace. Take care, everyone. Bye. Thank you for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.